Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And in the wake of the September 11th, 2001 attacks in the U.S., there were well-intentioned questions about why do they hate us? America's lack of understanding of the then unfamiliar Al-Qaeda terrorists, was combined with a sense of mystery about any possible why. What we all discovered was that there had been a secret or at least poorly understood war going on against Al-Qaeda for years before 2001. Well, history may be repeating itself in 2013. Reacting to the State Department advisory for all U.S. personnel to leave Yemen, the warnings that a terrorist attack there may be imminent, the unprecedented closing of 22 U.S. facilities, including embassies, Americans might honestly ask, why Yemen? Well, what we are learning or being reminded of this week is that the U.S. has been conducting a shooting war inside Yemen for years. In the past 4 years, in fact, the U.S. has bombarded Yemen with at least 75 strikes, some by planes and ships, many by drones, targeting AQAP, that's Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. The death toll from these attacks is estimated to be at least 600. At the same time, AQAP has steadily attracted more members. In 2009, the group had 300 members, it was estimated. Today, it has over 1,000. Is this policy working? Well, Faria al-Muslimi, a Yemeni activist who testified before Congress last April, warned, no, it's not, unless the intent of the U.S. is to make Yemenis terrified about the United States.
Well, when they think of America, they think of the terror they feel from the drones that hover over their heads, ready to fire missiles at any time. What the violent militants had previously failed to achieve, one drone strike accomplished in an instant.
Yemen, U.S. policy, and this well-established war zone in Yemen is the subject of Our World, Yemen, America's new front line, which airs later this week on the BBC. BBC reporter Yalda Hakim joins me now from London. Welcome.
Thanks very much for having me, John.
So you say America's next front line, but in fact, this has been a front line, at least for Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, for quite a while, and the U.S. has been involved for quite a while.
Indeed, it has. There's no doubt that Yemen has become the front line for the war against Al-Qaeda for the United States. Between 2011 and 2012, the drone strikes have tripled in Yemen, and 2012 saw the highest number of drones used in Yemen than anywhere else in the world. I went deep into Al-Qaeda territory in the south of the country, where I wanted to understand what it was like for people living with the constant sound of drones overhead, and also meet a number of people who say that they've been directly affected by the drone strikes because family members have been killed. And, you know, earlier you said, you quoted the statement, why do they hate us? I think a lot of them, what they told me is, we don't hate America. You know, if for years and decades, America has been good to us. They've offered us, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in aid. But none of this is now being seen because it's being overshadowed by the U.S. counterterrorism policy in the country. Yemenis have traveled to the United States to study. A lot of them have brought those skills back to Yemen, just as the terrorist Anwar al-Awlaki did and his father Nasser al-Awlaki did in the United States. So it's not this attitude that they hate America, but what happens when these strikes do occur? It's not that they're naturally sympathetic towards Al-Qaeda, but when the strikes happen, they become anti-American.
Well, indeed, and that's the sentiment of Faria al-Muslimi, who testified before Congress. His village was bombed, even though he had had a very, very generous experience in the United States, and the experience of his village being bombed made him very, very bitter about all that. Yet the government has a very different view. Here's Yemeni Foreign Minister Abu Bakr al-Kirbi.
The fact is that if your targets are Al-Qaeda leaders, and if they are endangering the security of your country, there is no alternative but to get at these individuals.
Yalda Hakim, does the Yemeni government believe it's fighting for its own survival?
I think so. I mean, it's a very fragile government. We mustn't forget that the Yemenis had their own Arab revolution a few years ago where they overthrew a dictator of 30 years. But the situation remains fragile. The country is, dealing with corruption. The economy is in a mess. There's a huge situation where we're seeing a fragile government and the situation is deteriorating in the country. And what that does is create a haven and a power vacuum for these terrorists to come in and use it as a base. So I do think in many ways they are fighting for their survival. But having said that, I think, what we need to understand about Yemen is it's different to a place like Iraq, for example. It's a very tribal society. It operates on tribal lines. So, sometimes when the United States is given intelligence about a potential militant operating in an area, we've heard reports that it actually could come down to tribal war. It's not actually a militant as such, but it's someone wanting to get someone back. But when I asked the Yemeni foreign minister about Yemen's sovereignty, and I said a lot of people are angry because they think, this is putting Yemen's sovereignty at stake. He said it would be putting our sovereignty at question if we weren't approving these strikes, and every single strike is being approved by the Yemeni government.
Well, the question of exploiting U.S. military capability for sort of tribal vendettas is an experience America should know very well in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The question of survival for al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula does not seem to be a question. However, you mentioned Anwar al-Awlaki, who was killed in a drone strike, the insurgent, the anti-American insurgent. You spoke with his father, Nasser al-Awlaki, and here's what he had to say.
Even if he made some of those sermons, which could be classified as hate sermons, I don't think that's right for the United States to go and kill him. If there are any allegations against my son, the United States government could have done something else, going to court, but they did not do that. They went ahead and killed him. There were maybe 300 people who were in al-Qaeda. Now we are talking about thousands of people.
Do you think, Yalda Hakim, that al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula is thriving amidst this war?
Absolutely. I think that they're taking full advantage of the United States' counterterrorism policy in their country. If anything, al-Qaeda doesn't want these drones to stop, because what they're doing is when, for example, civilians are killed, apparently al-Qaeda is then stepping in, paying compensation to the families, offering to pay compensation, paying for funeral costs, and then pressuring these locals to join al-Qaeda to take revenge. So they may lose a few militants here and there in some drone strikes, but then they're recruiting so many more as a result. So I think that it's actually working to their benefit.
Yalda Hakim is a BBC World News correspondent. She's the reporter behind the new documentary Yemen, America's New Front Line, which airs later this week on the BBC. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
So let's set all this in context with Gregory Johnson, who's the author of The Last Refuge, Yemen, Al-Qaeda, and America's War in Arabia. He's a PhD candidate in the Near Eastern Studies Department at Princeton University. Welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
So there's a lot going on here. Would you say that an imminent attack in Yemen would be the first and foremost message of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, we are alive and well? Or does it relate to this al-Zawahiri message of wanting to react to the abduction of Mohamed Morsi in Egypt? There's a lot going on here in the region.
Right. That's absolutely correct, John. I think what we're seeing is that Ayman al-Zawahiri, the head of al-Qaeda's global network, is putting a lot of pressure on an individual named Nasser al-Wahashi. This is the head of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. And what Ayman al-Zawahiri wants is for the group in Yemen, al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, to carry out an attack as soon as possible. And I think that's what is driving some of these embassy closures, some of this threat alert. But that isn't necessarily new. This is something that when Osama bin Laden was alive, he often did with different branches of al-Qaeda. He would press them to carry out attacks. And often the individuals on the ground, the men in place, people like Nasser al-Wahashi in Yemen, would resist a little bit, saying they weren't ready.
And it's interesting to me, and I wonder if you could react to this. Here's Jen Psaki, who's a State Department spokeswoman, really attempting to downplay the question of all of these warnings and whether they have anything to do with the larger relationship between the U.S. and Yemen.
This was a decision related to a specific immediate threat That's why we made the decision, but it doesn't have an impact, or we don't see it having an impact on our larger relationship.
So she suggests there that there is something completely sustainable about this war in Yemen and the U.S. relationship with Yemen. Do you believe that's the case?
Well, that's interesting that you play that clip from the State Department spokesperson, because just yesterday, when the U.S. was evacuating people from Yemen, the Yemen Foreign Ministry put out a statement condemning that evacuation and saying this evacuation, sending Americans home, is something that actually helps the terrorists. And so there's a different view whether you're in Washington or whether you're in Sana'a, in the capital of Yemen, on this.
Now, I remember during the Arab Spring focus, when Yemen was in such turmoil, that there was a lot of discussion that really who was driving the situation in Yemen was the Saudis, who have their own mission of maintaining security on their Yemeni border. They have their own beef with al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and that the U.S. is really acting as the kind of military arm of Saudi Arabia here. How do you see it?
Yeah, that's a great point, John. I think what really the Achilles heel for the United States in a place like Yemen is that it just does not have very good human intelligence on the ground. And what that means is that the United States is then forced to rely upon people like Saudi Arabia or the Yemeni government, who often have different agendas than does the United States. So the U.S. in Yemen is primarily concerned with al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. Saudi Arabia and the Yemeni government are certainly concerned with al-Qaeda, but they have a number of other concerns that the U.S. might not necessarily share. So the U.S. has great technology. The drones can be a powerful weapon, but they're a dependent piece of technology. They need to know what it is to hit, and that information comes from human intelligence on the ground, and this is where the United States is particularly weak.
Finally, we've been led to believe that the situation in Iraq is on a downturn, that the U.S. is ending its relationship in Iraq, ending its relationship in Afghanistan. Those war fronts seem to be relatively stable, incapable of producing unexpected headlines. What's the situation in Yemen? Is that trend line on the upswing in terms of U.S. involvement, or is it just simply unstable and capable of all kinds of events that we can't anticipate right now?
Right. So just last night, we saw a drone strike. Two nights ago, we saw a drone strike. Last week, we saw three drone strikes. The U.S. is clearly carrying out a number of strikes within Yemen. It's very, very eager to sort of take the fight to al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula in the hopes that they can fire enough missiles into Yemen that they can keep al-Qaeda back on their heels so they can't sort of plot, plan, and launch attacks from Yemen against the United States. But there's a bit of a problem with this. And basically, in a war like this, the war that the U.S. is in Yemen, the side that kills the most civilians loses. And this is something that al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula has internalized in its attacks in Yemen. This is not something that the U.S. appears to have internalized or at least realized and learned from its past mistakes. And so I fear the U.S. is headed down a very dangerous road in a place like Yemen.
Gregory Johnson is the author of The Last Refuge, Yemen, Al-Qaeda, and America's War in Arabia. He's a PhD candidate in the Near Eastern Studies Department at Princeton University. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.